Welcome back to the third part of Pax Europiana. That's of the second session. It's about free trade agreements. Free trade agreements are an essential part of European policy, and I like to call them more commercial peace treaties. It's very important to see them as this. They are not free trade agreements like in the sense of some everything is free or everything is unregulated. They are mutual agreements on marketing openings, on regulatory standards, and they are the core of what the European Commission really should do. And we have made some progress recently with the free trade agreement with Vietnam, also with the, it's not a free trade agreement, but with the first level agreement, let's call it an investment agreement with China. These were very positive and important steps. Yeah, and the task is not to boycott countries or whatever, or make embargoes only for very hostile countries like Iran. This is justified. But even with Russia, which is basically attacking Europe in many ways and leading a Cold War, we are doing a lot of trade. Yeah, so this is would really a complete escalation to stop all trade. And this we should do with no countries in the world. Wherever there's an opportunity, we should do free trade agreements. Let me reiterate, the biggest abnormality in the Western world is that we don't have a free trade agreement with the United States of America. This is the first thing we have to get going. And then also to got for the whole ratification crisis of CETA again. But if we would have done the TTIP, yeah, in that moment, we could in 2015, let me reiterate, there would be no Brexit today. It's our own fault that we do this kind of populist protectionism often, you know, we always complain about Trump sending the people to the Capitol, but remember how many hundreds and thousands of people the German left has agitated, and the German right, by the way, against TTIP in 2015. Luckily, there was nobody hurt. But this kind of populism is really what undermines the European project. Yeah? Nobody wants to open all markets all time in a theoretical world. Maybe that would be nice. But what everybody really needs is a regulated, reasonable marketing system where we have access to their market in a supervised and regulated way. And also they have access to us. It's mutually agreed. Yeah, it's no longer the time of cannon boats. So this is very important to understand. And this is very important. The American, US free trade agreement is missing. Then we have also the ratification crisis with Mercosur. In 2019, it was agreed, the FTA with Mercosur. And then all this left-wing populism started up, as if the Amazon would depend on exactly that. Or as if we could, by blocking trade with Brazil, really save the Amazons. The only way to have some kind of leverage and influence on a mutual good behavior and good governance is by having this FTA agreed, because that's our main contractual relation with the Mercosur countries. So this is for the Americas, very important. In the meantime, we have upgraded our relation, our trade system with Mexico, very good. We have also promised the African Union to have a free trade agreement or a partnership agreement, but on the level of a free trade system. That is very important with the Gulf State cooperation, but also with the countries of in the Balkans. We don't have a perfect system still. With Turkey, we have already a customs union. We have also to update that customs union, but definitely we have to ensure that all Balkan countries are also inside the EU customs union. This is very important. And we were now 4 years paralyzed with the Brexit debate, but there is no reason for paralyzation to continue. Afterwards, there was anyhow some movement. Mrs. Malmström, she was really very good in the second half of her mandate, because the shock of Brexit has really re-energized the whole effort, because there was suddenly competition and there was suddenly leadership and there was less French protectionism. Let me come also to the issue of Uzbekistan. Since 2016, the Uzbeks are really trying to get this free trade agreement, and we find excuse for excuse to make it impossible. This is really so bad. I mean, to good, hard-reforming and hard-working people to be blocked by some kind of invented issues. Of course, you know, no country in the world, in Asia and Africa and America, is perfect, yeah? But are we so perfect? I can find 10,000 things which are not perfect in Austria. But blocking trade access and hindering their countries and economies to basically access the European market, this is the meanest way to somehow claim to be for the third world, but then not to allow them to products to be sold on the European market. It's very, very bad. So I have covered the African Union, the Americas, now the ASEAN. We have made many mistakes in the relation with ASEAN, but recently we had this breakthrough through the strategic partnership with the ASEAN countries, with the Southeast Asian countries. Very good. But where is the FTA? It's basically ready. With Indonesia, we have done it. It's not just not adopted. We have it ready with, it was Vietnam, Singapore, and that was really major breakthroughs. But then, of course, you know, then comes always the consideration of human rights, which is abused for protectionism. Because when we have issues with human rights, you know, we will not only have leverage when we address this inside the framework of such an agreement. Yeah, and even when the situation in Cambodia and in Myanmar and in the Philippines is very problematic, the only way to really strengthen them is to have this FTA with ASEAN, where ASEAN is then a stronger partner for these countries, has also some influence and some leverage on them. And this is the way to really improve governance, not to simply ignore them, make their life of their middle classes much harder in the hope that their middle classes make a revolution against this bad governance, which they will never be able to do because there is such a dictatorship situation like in for example, Cambodia. But it's a very unfair way to do it, yeah? And it's very degrading and very negative for our consumers, for their consumers. It's the wrong way to do this human rights boycotts for your free trade agreements. I don't agree with that at all. We have other institutions to address this. We have other mechanisms to help and to insist. And we should do that more courageously, but not abuse this linkage with trade systems and human rights. Good. The next point is then, of course, the biggest debate is about our relationship with Turkey. We have here some calls in the recent years to end the customs union because, you know, I don't know who has invented that. And we should go to war best for Greece and for Cyprus and their claims for oil in the Mediterranean. I think that's absolutely ridiculous. Yeah. We have to be absolutely clear that Turkey is an ally and Greece is a member and an ally. We have to make sure that the trade relations stay excellent and that we have a good strategic partnership developing, and we should try to de-escalate. Yeah. We now give the Greeks a lot of money and they buy then French fighter planes. That's totally, for example, the wrong way to export weapons to Greece in that moment, yeah, and that we shouldn't do. And obviously also the Turks shouldn't buy S-400. But I digress, obviously. The point of this thing is, this podcast now, is to discuss about free trade agreements. And we have the biggest one now, also the biggest agreement this year with China. Now it's under heavy attack for many reasons. As I made very clear in the podcast about the OECD, it's important to have a trade relation with China. It's important to regulate that better, and therefore we should have that. And obviously, when we want to improve the human rights situation in China, let's invite China to the OECD. That's the forum for that. Here we can help. Here we have the tools. Here we have the instruments. So it makes sense. So when it comes to the other regions, we also should have a free trade agreement with Afghanistan, with Pakistan. We should be also having one with the Gulf states, with the Gulf Cooperation Council, and to make sure that this almost, it's ready for some years, to my best information, and it should be now approved and get this done, and not to make, anyhow, we have all these mechanisms inside the free trade agreements, yeah, but not to make this absolute opposition to free trade agreements on kind of the climate, the human rights, the Amazonas. This way we just end up all in poverty and more conflicts will be happening, because never forget, protectionism leads to war, trade is peace, and peace is trade. Yeah? And this is very important to understand this basic connection. and this basic understanding of free trade agreements of as commercial treaties for peace. So this is something, and the third part now of this series, what the EU should do much more. And I generally expect from the European Union until 2024 that the main building blocks of the countries we still don't have free trade agreements, that's basically India, that's Pakistan, that's ASEAN partly at least, that's also Uzbekistan, which is missing on the list, that's also an upgrade of our trade relations with Turkey, that's the African Union, with half of it we have already, but with the African Union directly, and also with the ratification of Mercosur, and also most of all, and that's the most important, now after Brexit, because you will see the America, the British will pressure very much on that one. We should all basically, after SEFTA, the British and the EU, get a free trade agreement now in the new mandate, because we have the most pro-European president in America since Ronald Reagan. We definitely use this opportunity. Will it be difficult to get it past the Senate? Yes, but I think there is a consensus for NATO, and as NATO allies, we should also have a trade agreement. Yeah, so that's, I think, a certain logic, and there will be hopefully some people in the Conservative Party in the USA which are still interested in economics, and so that is my hope. And so I think we can have this golden apple, the free trade agreement between the US and the EU, the missing trade agreement since 25 years, since the WTO creation. We can do it now until 2024. And this is, I think, what really will stabilize the world economy after during the corona and after the corona crisis in the 2020s. And this we can achieve, I think, in a reasonable time frame until 2024. So this basically is the building block about free trade agreements and during the coming 3 years until the European Parliament elections 2024. Thanks a lot for your attention.